Morning, and welcome to episode 13 of the Reticule Presents Installing to Disk. Yes, we're back with Installing to Disk, the video game podcast that is absolute chaos for the majority of it.
Sony House?
Yeah, Sony House.
Sorry, just making sure.
We're on to episode 13, which is unlucky for some, but pretty much every episode we've done has been unlucky, so we've made it this far.
Yeah, I was just thinking, how could it possibly get any worse for us?
Not at all. So, number 13, bring it on. In this episode, we have news of the first dedicated Android gaming device. We have a possible Wii U release date. James has been playing DuckTales. And as always, we'll be talking about our games of the week. So, look forward to all of that. And also, as a special treat, I have been requested to eat some crisps.
Just sound bizarre through a headset.
So, there we are. Let's kick things up.
I have had better treats in my life, to be honest, than listening to someone else eat crisps.
You asked for it, so... So, let's kick things off straight away with the news. Studio Liverpool, formerly known as Psygnosis, and the creators of the famous Wipeout series, have sadly closed. Psygnosis, who were been around for... So around since like the 80s, haven't they? Like 84, I think they were.
They were set up in 1994.
And obviously most well known for Wipeout.
Was it Roll Cage, that game that you told me to play?
Yes.
That was Psygnosis.
Oh really?
Psygnosis. Liverpool.
Yeah, they later changed the name to Studio Liverpool because they were bought out by Sony and because Psygnosis was a name that nobody really knew how to pronounce. Roll Cage was...
Yeah, as I've just illustrated. But yeah, Wipeout, Formula One games, Destruction Derby, Lemmings, there's a few Lemmings ones here, yeah. Even though I thought Rockstar was for that, but... Oh, they had a game called Oh No, More Lemmings.
So, apart from Lemmings, they were primarily known for racing games, as we mentioned, Wipeout and Roll Cage. The sad news was they were actually...
They also made the Spice Girls game as well.
Wow. And the sad news is they were working on a new Wipeout, which doesn't... Well, it's not going to be made now, presumably, because the studio's been disbanded.
Well, I'm not entirely sure what is going on with the studio, because... Sony said themselves that they were focusing efforts on other places, other studios. And so Studio Liverpool would no longer be developing, but the studio itself would stay there. So whether it will be used for QA or something, I'm not entirely sure, but it did sound as though the building will remain with Sony for some reason.
That's interesting.
So I'm not sure if they're going to do it. Then again, I could have made it up. My sources are completely random. I might have dreamt that. Oh, here we go. I can answer that. In a press release, Sony stated that after an assessment of all European studios, it decided to close Studio Liverpool. Sony said that the Liverpool site would remain in operation as it is home to a number of Sony Worldwide Studios and Sony Computer Entertainment Europe departments. So, is it just going to be a office?
It sounds like it. It's sad to hear because I always thought, of, especially Wipeout, that's a big exclusive for them.
That'll stay. They'll shift it somewhere else. They have to.
But yeah, apparently Psygnosis were in the process of making a new Wipeout, which apparently is being canned. So, will they make a new one?
Yeah.
I would love to see a new Wipeout because, well, who wouldn't?
That's what the people who were making The Last Guardian are now working on.
What? They
all fits into place.
They're going to merge the two together?
Yeah.
And you're just flying around on a griffin?
Yeah. to Noisier or Dead Mouse or something.
So yes, sad news about Studio Liverpool. But let's move on to the next news. The first dedicated portable Android gaming system is planned to be launched by PlayMG. The MG is to be funded on Kickstarter, much like the Ouya.
So it's the Plumug.
The Plaimg. So yes. Plaimg.
So Plaimg and Ouya are the two. What happened to proper names?
Well, in fairness,
PlayStation, Xbox, Game Boy. It's just noises now.
In fairness, PlayMG is the name of the company that is creating it. The console itself will be called the MG.
That's not a name.
Well, MG...
Call it the portable box.
MG Rover used to use the MG pretty fine, so...
Yes, but they didn't make games consoles.
They made cars. They're basically the same thing, just big boxes you'd play around with.
What? Move on.
So, yes, in fairness, although it is like the first dedicated Android gaming device, it doesn't look that good, not going to lie. It doesn't have any, like, specific controls. It's just, like, a 4-inch tablet, which is stripped down just to play Android games. So it's nothing to get that excited about. I just felt it needed mentioning because it's a first. So, yeah. Shadow of the Colossus producer, Kenji Kaido, has left Sony. So this is following on after Fumito Ueda, who also left Sony earlier during the Shadow of the Colossus making. It's putting extra doubt on whether the game will come to exist at all at the moment.
What game is this?
Shadow of the Colossus.
Isn't that already out?
The Last Guardian, sorry.
I'm so confused then.
Yeah.
It doesn't say much.
Yeah, Shadow of the Colossus is obviously the game they made in the past. They've been working on The Last Guardian. Will it be ever made? It's looking dubious.
PlayStation 4 launch title.
See, I thought that as well, but if you think about all the past launch titles, they've been fairly safe. And with The Last Guardian being extremely artsy and a bit avant-garde, I don't see it as being a launch title. It's one of those...
Maybe this will usher in a change of strategy. Maybe they'll be first to market with the console and slightly different games on launch.
Yeah, it'd be a nice concept, but it's always one of those games that it needs a dedicated user base to... So I don't see it as being a launch title. I do see it as being released eventually because it's a big game for them, but I don't see it being anything like Shadow of the Colossus or Eco was in that the original... concept from Last Guardian, I imagine they've realised that they can't achieve. So this is going to be a fairly middling game and it's not going to be what we all expect it. But that's just my view on it.
So what do you think is stopping them from achieving it?
Technology? Technical limitations. I mean, it's the classic Molyneux effect, to be honest. Which is going to become a phrase now, the Molyneux effect.
Molyneux's law.
Yeah. Did he have to change the name of Curiosity, the little experiment he's been working?
Yeah, because Mars was getting angry.
Yeah, you do not want to insult the God of War. So, yes, The Last Guardian in peril. Who will guard the Guardian? Anything else to say on that?
No. Oh, we didn't introduce ourselves again.
Didn't we?
No, I don't think so.
Well... Now it seems like...
He's Jordan, I'm James.
Yep, I'm Jordan, he's nameless James. To give us our nicknames, or to give me my nickname, to give James his... So yeah, let's move on, because that is your news.
What about On Live?
On Live, yes. Didn't we speak about that last week, or was...
I don't think so.
Okay, well, On Live...
This bit might be a bit freestyled. But it's news nonetheless.
Yes. On Live, a few weeks ago, fired all their staff and rehired them. Well, a lot of them, at least.
Doing a game, as it's known.
Doing a game. Yes, this was it's a bit dubious. Legally, it was totally cool, but financially, it's a bit meh. I think you might know a bit more about this than me, to be honest, so if you'd like to take over.
It was, I seem to remember they had all these issues, and then I think it was the president or something like that of the company, not Barack Obama, but the bloke who was in charge of On Live, said that he was going to stay in control of the company, and then 2 days later he left. So it just, I think as well, I remember when we first started talking seriously about cloud gaming and wondering if it could work or not, and then given how Sony's bought, who was it?
Gaikai,
something like that.
Gaikai.
They bought. I seriously thought that when Sony got involved, and this would be the point where cloud gaming would become more and more prominent, but maybe that's why OnLive are suffering if Gaikai have got Sony behind them.
Yeah, I still don't see cloud gaming becoming a thing anytime soon, and
I wanted to try it on iPad just to see what it was like.
Yeah,
but I could never seem to find the app on our store, so I don't know if it was like a America thing only on the iPad whenever I looked.
Okay.
So it was something that I wanted to see how easy it worked with our broadband.
Yeah.
But never got a chance to.
That's a shame. So, yes, cloud gaming may be the way of the future, but let's take a look at the gaming of the past in the Retro Roundup. Last week, James, and last podcast even, you were playing DuckTales for the NES? Was it?
Yes.
How did you get on with that?
Well, this is something quite remarkable, as it's the first time it's happened during this podcast. But it's a game that I've actually played before and locked away in my subconscious.
Oh, sweet.
And I actually played it on Game Boy.
Yeah.
And I started playing it, and the menu has this really distinct music to it. It's all like do-do-do-do-do-do-do, plinky-plonky stuff. I was listening to it, I was thinking, I'm sure I recognise this. This is, and then I started having visions of these bone zombie things chasing me about, and then one on the castle level, and then they started chasing me. And that brought back memories, and, well, I hated it then, and I hate it now, so.
Why do you hate it?
I just don't like it. I find it hard. I know it's based on
Mega Man.
So I dislike that. I just found it hard, the trying to pace jumping and hitting enemies on the top and getting, I got my ass kicked a lot. But I did remember what I found funny when I used to play it, which was, you know, he's got like that kind of pogo stick power drill thing with his cane he bounces around on. It's something. If you haven't seen it, just imagine basically a motorized pogo stick going at about 40 miles an hour and just going into a closed corridor and endlessly like bouncing up and down in the middle, just sitting there watching this little duck bounce around. Other than that, story's crap, music's crap, game's crap. End of discussion.
When you start this off by going, it turned out I'd played it before, I was like, those are always like great moments where you're like, this reminds me of something, and then you're like, I used to play this loads when I was a kid. I thought you were going to go into how it was awesome. But
well, this is a game that my subconscious has hidden away from me.
Yeah, well, I had a few times like that. There used to be old Mickey Mouse games, which I forgot I'd played until last year when I was playing them again, after Epic Mickey came out. And they were all awesome. Seriously, if you ever get a chance, go play some of the old, like the classic Mickey Mouse games, because they are extremely good. I say when you get a chance, I'm tempted to just make you play them now because I have the power. But I'm not going to, because I've got a game written down which I'm quite excited to see you play. You like Hawks, don't you? The
Birds of Prey
game.
Not particularly. I'm more of a Falcon kind of guy myself.
Tom Clancy Hawks. Yeah, you were quite fond of that, were you?
I was quite fond of it until I realised the game saves were locked, and when I got my new console, I could no longer play as my level 37 fighter jet that I had and couldn't kill people online anymore.
So, yeah, since you can't play that game, there's another flight simulator game which you might be interested in, called Red Baron. Red Baron, as you probably know, the German fighter pilot who was pretty damn good.
And he was based on the Red Max from Wacky Races.
Yep. There were two games based on the both of them. One in 1980 for a console which I forget, and a better one, which you'll be playing, in 1990 for the PC.
1990.
Made by Sierra, who you will almost certainly know as one of the great games of making, one of the great companies of making point and click games, along with LucasArts. So yeah, Sierra, they released Red Baron as freeware in 1997. So you can download it from the Red Baron website. So yes, Flight Sim, go check that out.
Red Baron. Red Baron. I know something else that's Baron. The landscape of the rumor room this week.
You're getting good at this now. You've been learning from me.
Yeah, I know. I've got the best master. You're like Qui-Gon Link, and I'm Obi-Wan
Kirby. It kind of works. Anyway, let's move on to James's rumor room.
This will be a quick one this week because there's not a great deal. And to be honest, these are kind of rumors that don't really no one really cares about. Starting with. A source at Neversoft is claiming that Modern Warfare 4 is in development. And, well, none of us really expected that.
Neversoft?
There's been some possible leaked information about levels. There's something called drone surveillance. So I'm imagining you just fly about in a plane looking at stuff, which has been done in, I think, every other modern war game. Yes, there's a level under ice. And there is cloaking technology as well.
I would love if Metallica's playing during that. It's just trapped under ice.
Yes, but, yeah. I'll forget how it goes, but I do know it. And then there's something else called Dominator UAV. So it's basically just a collection of random words that people have put together, as one would expect. So Modern Warfare 4, as far as rumours go, that's like... I don't know. That's like saying gravity's a rumour.
Yeah. Well, this rumour is obviously true. Yes. Let's not get into a discussion about that. But why Neversoft talking about it?
I don't know. I think maybe they're finished on Tony Hawk's and want to do...
Yeah, did they do anything else apart from Tony Hawk?
Guitar Hero.
Tony Hawk and Guitar Hero, therefore they are experts on Modern Warfare. That's just science.
That does fit with Modern Warfare kind of logic, doesn't it?
The fun thing is all three games have been... released every year and saturated the market, and that led to their own downfall. So perhaps Neversoft are experts on the Modern Warfare series.
Brought it on themselves.
Yeah.
Fallout 4 might be set in Boston. Some people who go to MIT have been saying that Bethesda researchers have been scoping out the area, looking at potential locations, and they also have a strong connection to MIT. So, Boston, Fallout 4, potentially. I haven't actually looked at Boston, so I don't know what's there.
As an Englishman, all I know about it is there's a lot of Irish people, a lot of fighting, and a lot of drinking. So it's Ireland.
Right.
I don't know anything about Boston.
Boston. All I know is More Than a Feeling by Boston.
Yeah, and Dropkick Murphys
more
came from there.
More than a feeling.
Da, na, 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 na. You don't know the lyrics, do you?
No. No one knows. Everyone does a guitar bit at that bit. Da, na, na. All right, you do them then.
No. No, I want to get on with this podcast.
All right. Fallout 4, Boston. Interesting. I like Fallout. Wasn't so keen on New Vegas.
I'd like to see it in Boston. Because we always get New York and DC and New York and New York and Vegas every once in a while and New York. So it'd be nice
New
to
York
see a different landscape.
Well. New York.
Yeah.
Information coming from a GameStop managers conference has apparently released information on the Wii U release date. It was a peripheral making company has revealed plans of releasing these extras for the Wii U, and that date is November the 18th, which times in perfectly with what we said last time about Black Friday and Thanksgiving. And the Wii was launched on November the 19th, and the GameCube was on November the 18th, so it does stand a chance. But then again, this is a peripheral company, so they could be getting in before the Wii U launches, so but we'll have to wait and see.
Weren't both of those previous dates also Sundays, which...
Yes, they were.
The new one will also be, if it is the 19th. But yet again, this is in America. So I believe entirely that a November 18th, 19th, or whatever day you said, is feasible for them. But
in the US,
when are we going to get it? I am saying not this year, Zelda. And I really want one. So I really don't want that to be true.
I don't.
You don't want one?
Nah.
Well, what can I say?
What we can say is that's the end of the rumour room.
Yes. And so we shall move directly on to our game of the week. Or games of the podcast, as is more accurate. Since I believe you... Since I believe you've got more to say this week, I'll leave it up to you to kick things off while I eat crisp.
Okay. Are you really eating more crisps?
No.
What flavour were they of interest? Steak?
Mm.
Heathen.
Onwards.
Right, the first game I played was Rage. And I will say in advance that I regret getting it on PS3. I should have got it on PC, because I could have run it in all its glory. On PS3, if you kind of turn the camera medium pace, the walls load in front of your eyes and the textures really struggle to keep up.
Yeah.
But other than that, the game itself is, well, I mean, from a technical point of view, it is amazing. The engine is absolutely solid. I didn't encounter a single flaw the entire time through it, as in like glitches or anything like that.
Well, it's made by id, isn't it? What engine are they using?
The one for that.
All right.
The environments are absolutely amazing. You can look at a wall, and there's cracks and rubbish at the bottom, and there's damage. It just looks really visually rich. And just looking around the kind of subways where you've got signs everywhere and there's people milling about and there's stuff all lying around. Really cool. Just looks amazing. But the game itself, the story, is really bizarre, as there's no pacing. In Fallout, the problem with Rage is Fallout.
Mm.
Fallout 3. To be specific, because if I hadn't have played Fallout, I'd have probably said that Rage was unbelievably amazing. But Fallout, everything Rage did, as I was going through it, I was just thinking, Fallout did this better, Fallout did this better, just listing things off. And the pacing was the main thing, because in Fallout, you start off in the underground bunker, and it's split into different chapters, isn't it? So you're like born, and then you're a kid, and then there's various other things happening.
And Liam Neeson's
and it's there. It's only then that you go out into the world and you're hit by all this light and this massive world and stuff. But in Rage, you wake up and literally get out of your little chamber and open the door into the world, and then someone jumps on you and you're saved, and it's really bizarre. It's just
very similar
constant.
To New Vegas.
Worse than New Vegas.
Well, that's exactly what happens in New Vegas. You walk out your door, you're shot in the head.
So, yeah, as a game, visually, probably the most amazing game we've ever seen. The quality
really?
Of the graphics. Yeah, it looks incredible. Especially some of the later towns, where they're all underground, and the lights and everything's amazing. Gameplay-wise, very repetitive. You spend most of your time running backwards away from hordes of enemies. And the drive-in doesn't work at all. Absolutely horrible. So, all in all, good game, but the main problem with it is the fact that Fallout 3 exists. And Bethesda are behind both of these, so...
Well, they published it, but it was id who made Rage.
So, yeah, that was Rage, and I also played another game, which I'll talk about quickly, because it wasn't very substantial. God of War, Chains of Olympus, which
was the PSP one.
Yes, a PSP game that's been uprated in, I quote on the disc, jaw-dropping HD, which I have been more impressed with other games.
You can see the polygons in more accuracy.
Yeah. There's one thing that really, really pissed me off about this game, and it is the order that it does certain things, certain events. Right. So, for instance, so you walk into the area... it auto-saves, then a minute-long video plays, then there's a fight, then there's the health. So, it's just, I would rather have health, video, auto-save, fight, because then it just means you can just carry on and repeat, but the final battle in the game, there's a video beforehand which is about a minute and a half long, and you need to run to the point to start it. And while you figure out to begin with what to do against this boss, and she like kills you instantly, it really drags on and repetitive, and there's loads of points during the game where it just doesn't feel as though it's been tested in a way.
Yeah, it's one of the cardinal sins of game design. A save before a long cutscene, especially if they're unskippable.
Yes, yeah, they are, which is the problem.
I've always wondered why that was. I presume it's because it would require some background loading during the cutscene, and it'd prefer you to at least watch the cutscene and load as opposed to have a specific loading screen.
Being a PSP game,
yeah, it could make sense.
It does feel like a PSP game. You are getting less. The story doesn't feel as big. There's not.
There's one of the things about porting a PSP game to the PS2 or PS3, as it was. PSP games are built differently. They're made to be consumed in short spurts, where you can just go, right, I'm on a train.
I can
just play this for 20 minutes. Whereas PlayStation 3 games are made for the long run, so I've never understood why you would want to play a PSP game on a PS3 or vice versa.
My final thing I'm going to say about the game, because I'm going on now, something about the story that I didn't quite understand is that the story for it is Morpheus, who's the god of dreams, is being a dick, and Persephone, who's the wife of Hades, is also being a dick.
Well, it's a job.
So, the guy who's god of the sun, can't remember his name, they basically remove the sun so the world goes into darkness, and all this stuff is going on. Kratos goes down to hell to go and see Persephone, blah, 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 blah. Kratos has lost his daughter in the past, right? And his family.
He's murdered them, to be precise.
So, after murdering them, he goes down to hell to go and see Persephone and see his daughter. Right. So Persephone's there saying, I knew you would come down to be with your wife and daughter because you mortals always put yourself before other people. That's always been your problem. It's always you first, right?
Okay.
And then the story goes on a bit, the game goes on. The reason that she's being a complete knob is because she wants to destroy the world, Olympus, hell, everything, purely because the gods made her marry Hades and become the queen of the underworld. She's doing it all because of something that happened to her.
So are you complaining that the wife of Hades is being hypocritical?
Yes.
I think that's a minor criticism of her in general, to be honest. Kratos has got he must have a weekly pass down to a Hades. He's in there every bloody game, and he just walks out like nothing's happened.
He's got an Oyster card.
It's like a home away from home. Yeah.
And as that's the PSP, there's two games on the disc, so maybe for the next podcast I'll play the other one, which is Ghost of Sparta. So let's look out for that hypocritical story.
And I've been playing Tomb Raider.
Oh, which one?
Tomb Raider. The only one I will believe is called Tomb Raider, not Tomb Raider New, the original Tomb Raider.
On the PS1?
Yes. Well, it's on the PC.
Okay.
It's not aged well, not going to lie. remember how... Because this was one of the first games I ever remember. My cousin got it in the post, and I remember seeing that. I can remember the entire opening sequence. I could remember that just from seeing it once when I was like 5 or something. Yeah. So it was really nice to get back into it, and I remember it looked great back in the day. It doesn't anymore. gameplay wise, it's a bit stodgy, for want of a better term. But ironically, I think it's held up in feel very, very well, because due to like the limitations of PlayStation 1 on PC back in the day, there aren't that many enemies. Like in later Tomb Raiders, there are like around the corner, there's always like a wolf trying to bite your face off, and there's all these really lush environments. That doesn't happen in the first one, which makes it feel a lot more sparse, which I think it goes in with the theme of the game. You're raiding tombs, you should be all these empty caverns and stuff. So it's like Silent Hill 2. The only reason that that's got so much fog was because of the draw distance of the PlayStation 1. And that made it feel really claustrophobic. And they took that out for the PlayStation 3 HD remake, and it just doesn't feel as good. And Tomb Raider Anniversary did something similar with the original Tomb Raider, and they added more stuff. And it just doesn't make the game any better. So I'll be talking a lot more about Tomb Raider in the upcoming weeks, so keep your eyes out for that. Gameplay and looks-wise, it's not cracking, but it's still... I mean, it was such an important game in the day. I mean, it's the first really cinematic game that like paved the way for Final Fantasy VII, and then much later on the Uncharted series, which they have so much Tomb Raider, it's unbelievable.
And Dog's Life as well.
Yeah. So, yes, Tomb Raider. And that was our Games of the Week. So let's just finish this podcast off now by seeing what's been going on over at the Reticule.
I'm guessing they've been stealing more of our ideas.
I would love to say no, but you're wrong. They have been. Well, I would be wrong saying that. You know how we've been phasing out our release schedule because there's nothing being released?
Yes.
Well, on the Reticule, there is now a release schedule for...
No, is there?
For September.
That's weird. I didn't see that one coming.
Yes, but as well as the release schedule that's on there, it's got some decent-looking games on, so go check that out. There's also a review from top reviewer Jordez. Yes, I've written something, for a change, on New Super Mario Bros. 2 for the 3DS. So if you like a bit of vitriol and anger, go check that out, because I was very, very upset about it. Also, there is... Chris has been writing about Hitman Blood Money and how you can get it for free. There's news of a new Skyrim expansion pack on the way, and there's a new look on Spy Party, the indie game that's been keeping us interested for like the past 10 years, and new news and screens on that. So go check all those out over at thereticule.com. And that's all we have time for today. I've been Jordez, with me has been Nicknameless James. And any last words, James?
Toy Story 3.
And I will go with, as per usual, goodbye. Goodbye.
More than a feeling.
More than a feeling.
When I hear that old song I used to play, I begin dreaming, till I see Mary and walk away.
You're looking at lyrics, aren't you?
No.